This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. It's great to have you with us. Officials in the city of Houston, Texas, say 25,000 people have moved into permanent housing in the city since 2011. As a result, the homeless population has decreased by 63%. Now, by nearly any measure, this is a significant policy accomplishment, especially in the midst of rising rents and an ongoing shortage of affordable housing. The city of Houston accomplished it by choosing to do something radical. They gave people who didn't have homes, homes. I know. Seems kind of obvious, but the notion of directly addressing homelessness with housing is something very few cities in the U.S. have done successfully.
I can finally work and see the fruits of my labor, how well I am now.
This is Jairo Garcia Lopez, a 25-year-old Houston resident. Jairo grew up in a small town on the Gulf Coast.
I really didn't have any opportunities. We're out in the middle of the country, middle of nowhere. So I wasn't sure what to do at that point.
Now, Jairo was 19 the first time he came to Houston, and he couldn't quite make it work. So he headed home. But then he came back, trying again.
But this time I had momentum. I had a little bit of experience on my hands. I believe I had about $100 on me. I decided to stay here because I just knew I'd be able to find something. I'd be able to find a job. I'd be able to find at least some type of opportunity to get me forward.
So for 6 months, Jairo did not have permanent housing. He moved from temporary shelter to shelter. That is when he could actually find an open bed.
I remember just, you know, being okay with just being outside all day. But when it came to the nighttime, I would worry about where am I going to rest or where am I going to be able to take a shower or at least get some type of income by working and looking presentable.
But that all changed in January of 2021.
I remember literally seeing Jairo on his very first day when he came into the center, and he had this look as if, you know, he had walked 10 miles to get here, you know, and was just exhausted.
This is Kenneth Eakins,
Director of Housing and Navigation Services for the Salvation Army of Greater Houston.
Now, Kenneth was working in the Salvation Army's Young Adult Resource Center, the center Jairo found in a search online. Kenneth calls it YARC.
YARC has hot meals, it has showers, it has laundry, it has bus fare.
And YARC got him on a list to receive stable housing under a model the city adopted known as Housing First. To Jairo, this all sounded too good to be true, even up to the day his caseworker called and said,
"You got to sign the lease and get your keys." I was like, wow, I really have an apartment. I never really had a room to myself, so this was big.
In the year and a half since Jairo first came to YARC, he's found a job, enrolled in Houston Community College, and began to focus on his mental health.
You know, you can't just go from survival mode to living in a civilized world without, you know, the repercussions of the trauma that you may have gone through. So to me, healing comes with trauma that you're trying to not avoid, but understand. And I wouldn't have been able to do all this if I wouldn't have been mentally intact, thanks to all these services that I've had so far.
To Kenneth, Jairo's journey illustrates why Housing First works.
We often say housing is not necessarily the goal. It's just the first step. It's an important step to help you continue to discover more of who you are and what you desire to become.
For more on this, I'm joined now by Mandy Chapman Semple, who served as Houston's first special assistant to the mayor for homeless initiatives from 2013 to 2016. Mandy, thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
And also joining us is James Gonzalez. He's Director of Program Operations at Coalition for the Homeless in Houston, Harris County. James, thanks also to you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Mandy, can a city solve homelessness?
That's the, you know, billion-dollar question at the moment. And what Houston's story has proved is, in fact, with a steadfast dedication to Housing First, with leadership committed to organizing a collection of service providers and helping them actually achieve collective results that are larger than what any one of those organizations could achieve on their own, it is possible, in fact, to end homelessness, even in the face of very complex economic conditions that continue to work against all of those efforts.
Okay, so Mandy, what is Housing First? What's the philosophy, the effort behind it?
So Housing First is very simply the premise that individuals who are in crisis need a permanent place to live in order to begin their recovery process. We often talk a lot about the root causes of homelessness being substance use disorder or mental illness, but very often those root causes of homelessness simply are a lack of affordable housing. And without that affordable housing, it becomes very difficult to manage any one of those conditions or the economic stability that many Americans face day in and day out. So Housing First is the premise that instead of keeping individuals in crisis and trying to help them fix or overcome very substantial challenges, we will instead help move individuals into housing and provide them with the supports so that they can live successfully and move through recovery and onto their most productive life.
All right, James, bring this down to the ground for me. With an idea like this, with this Housing First that is reflecting an understanding that the root causes might also be the effects of living without housing, right? That they're feeding into one another in that way. Explain to me what is the Coalition for the Homeless and what it is you do. You wake up 6 a.m., what happens?
Well, the Coalition for the Homeless basically helps herd all the housing providers and channel funding from a local and national level into the system so that we can have a coordinated approach to housing for all the people who are experiencing homelessness in our area.
And again, so what does that look like? You wake up, it's 6, you have some coffee, and then you go and do you literally herd executive directors in? Surely not. But help me understand what you all are doing that brings those resources together.
Yeah, so the collaboration in Houston is probably our biggest strength. So we're constantly setting up feedback loops for our providers to be able to tell us what's going on. Every day we have work groups going on for different frontline staff or different higher level executives at these different agencies to make sure that we're all on the right page. So, you know, you will have the executives in the agencies need to have ongoing meetings about, you know, where their spend down is, what's going on with their budget. And then all the frontline staff is, they're the ones dealing with the actual clients. And so we have to make sure that, you know, if there are any issues with clients, we need to help them resolve it, whatever problems are going on. And all of that work together, we call all of that collaboration of folks. It's called The Way Home. And so we're working together day in, day out to troubleshoot any issues that come up.
All right. You said the million-dollar word. And Mandy, let me come back to you on this word. James said budget and spend down. Where is the money coming from for this effort?
So the federal government has long been one of the major providers of funding across the country for homeless response. And that continues to be true today and certainly is true in Houston. But the reality is responding to homelessness takes the blending of many resources across different federal budgets, state budgets, and local investments made by cities and counties across the country. So those resources have to be organized and what James was describing is how the Coalition for the Homeless helps set that funding plan, sets the strategies for how to make the most of those investments, and then on a daily basis helps organize the actual spending of those resources in the most strategic and effective ways to produce a maximum set of results. So the complexity of just getting your system organized, given all of those factors, is something that is a huge challenge for communities across the country and something Houston has been able to remedy and has been working for the last 10 years to really perfect so that it can maximize every opportunity when those federal resources in particular become available.
So, James, when we hear from Jairo that he got a phone call saying, come pick up the keys for your place, what are the resources that have gone into that? Is this a 6 months commitment to Jairo? Is it an open-ended commitment? Where are those keys coming from?
Yeah, so the planning effort that Mandy was talking about, it really takes so much lead time to get to the point where we can hand someone keys. So you're looking at a combination of federal, local funds that on the back end where the client or the frontline housing provider has no idea that there have been months of work trying to align those resources. The commitment of rental assistance is different for every client. And we really try to tailor that to what the person is experiencing and what their needs are going to be for the short term or long term. So it can take weeks. It can take several months. It really just depends on what the needs are and what program we're trying to connect that person to. But the goal really has been to spend a lot of work behind the scenes trying to overlap these resources so that that client, that case manager doesn't have to deal with any of those issues. All they need to do is focus on their client and help them get moved in.
And James, how does the private sector fit into this? I was in a conversation with a woman in my community who was telling me she's sort of escaped a domestic violence situation and that she has vouchers for rental housing. But what she expressed to me was that there was no private landlord willing to take her voucher. She's like, I've got it. I can go get a place, but right now I'm staying in a shelter because no private landlord will take it. What is the public-private partnership necessary to marshal the resources you've been talking about?
They are a huge part of this effort. We spend a great deal of relationship building with landlords and private funders just to help educate them on what we're doing and to show them that really anyone could be in this position, and our clientele are not very different than any other average tenant at their property. Sometimes, if a landlord has never used one of our programs before, they're very hesitant. And after sitting down and talking to them, we can show them that, one, we're overlapping resources as best as possible so that they do get a financial commitment. They don't have to just kind of, take this program on a whim and worry about not getting paid. If there is a problem, unlike their other tenants, they get to call us. They get to reach out to somebody, ask questions, and find, get a resolution to what's going on.
Mandy, why isn't housing first the norm everywhere? If you've got a 63% reduction in Houston, have there been cities like, did Dallas come over and pick it up? Is, New Orleans, in for a dollar, in for a pound? What is the likelihood of a housing first agenda and approach in other major cities?
Yeah, housing first is actually pretty well established across the country. I think the challenge is in its execution. And this is what Houston would call their secret sauce. They've really found a way to not only embrace fully housing first, the way many cities across the country have, but to really execute on it with excellence and to achieve the type of results that we're looking for. In 2009, Congress passed the Hearth Act. And this really codified Housing First as part of the larger philosophy for the investment of federal dollars in homelessness response. So the country has long embraced this. Where communities come to us and ask for support is in support to execute the Housing First policy and to do all the complex braiding and blending of funding to set up structures that support the collective impact and the collaboration that James was referencing. And Houston has been able to demonstrate that with a commitment to the daily management of that collaboration and with leaders that can continue to trust each other and to remain organized around the Housing First philosophies and continue to drive toward removing every obstacle that's challenging our ability to execute Housing First, that's when we can start to see the very dramatic results. And so I want to appreciate countries that, cities across the country that have fully embraced Housing First, but are still yet struggling with the full execution against all of these incredible headwinds, both within the economy and also within the political environment.
So Mandy, why? What difference does it make to a city to, because you are talking about a substantial investment of resources, not just financial. What I really hear you saying is that there is, there's a level of commitment to the resource that is time, that is relationship building, right? That is more than a decade of sustained effort here. Why should a city care?
Well, first and foremost, we know that homelessness is a condition that affects both the individual experiencing homelessness, but also the community itself. So the health of the community suffers when we have individuals who are suffering and living in conditions that are not meant for human habitation. So there's a moral imperative there, but there's also a health imperative. So there isn't a city in this country that isn't interested in solving homelessness. The challenge is, over the years, we've attempted to respond to homelessness by responding to the crisis. And what we've done is really concentrate all of the services and supports within our crisis environments. So I can go to an emergency shelter when I can find a bed and I can get some of the supports that I need. But the reality is, what Housing First attempts to do is turn that premise on its head. And instead of keeping people in crisis so that we can provide them with the supports and services they need, Housing First says, let's help get them into a permanent housing environment, back into our communities, and let's wrap our supports around those individuals, not only so that they can stabilize, but also so that we create a long-term safety net so that they never return to homelessness again. And this is really how we enhance the health of our communities long-term. So cities do care about this. It's not easy to reverse the order that these services and this infrastructure has created as the homeless response system has been built up over the years.
James, I'm also interested in what a massive exogenous shock like the pandemic did to this, right? So here you are trying to address questions of the lack of housing at a time when people are told to go home, right? And that is like the critical public health number one before there's a vaccine. How did COVID affect the work you all were doing?
Yeah, so fortunately, we were able to get a large, tons of financial resources that eventually came into our system. And because we've been doing so much collaboration with local funders in the past, we were able to just keep moving forward and add new programs, add new resources, and build on top of that history of collaboration. For our folks who were unsheltered during that time, it was really difficult to get resources because, like everywhere else, you had agencies that they were normally providing services had to shut down periodically to ensure that their staff was safe. So it was a very difficult time for our clients, but we did have numerous outreach teams that were still in the field trying to provide basic need services as a minimum to folks as best they could. So once we were able to get programs in place, we really just hit the ground running as fast as we could to make sure and address those needs that people were missing out on.
Are you setting new goals?
Every day, absolutely. One of the things that I love about our team in Houston, with Mandy's help over the years, is we've always dreamed big. And we're so grateful that our partners are willing to come along for the ride on that. We dream big and we think about milestones along the way to help us reach those goals.
James Gonzalez is Director of Program Operations at Coalition for the Homeless of Houston-Harris County. and Mandy Chapman Semple designed and co-managed the transformation of Houston's approach to homelessness. She's also the co-founder of Clutch Consulting Group, working with cities across the country. Mandy and James, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.